Yes, it does. Welcome into a Thursday edition of the show. Power Talk of Muncie in the new WMUN. Lots to get to today. We're glad to be joined here in a little bit at 4:30 by Ball State baseball coach Rich Maloney. It's rainy. What do you do if you're a baseball and softball team from a practice standpoint and it's a washout? We'll talk about that and the preparations for upcoming series for Ball State baseball. Already saw that Ball State softball had their series altered over the weekend. They'll have a Saturday-Sunday series instead of playing on Friday due to all this rain. I don't know about you, but my backyard was flooded this morning. You know, I'm not the best at yard work, but I was trying to get as much water away from the house this morning, so I realized that my gutter system wasn't doing its thing, so I moved, you know, the pipe to, you know what I mean. I was doing that in my work shoes this morning. It's all nasty. The entry to the neighborhood was flooded. It was a colossal mess today, but we're here, we're at it, and hopefully the rain subsides sooner rather than later. So this kind of hit me today because we, obviously over the last month or so, I've had thoughts and feelings about the way that the Colts have built their roster, and there's been so many local things happening over the last month and a half that if you look back in years previous, really the last 3 to 5 years, March is typically the time where we start talking about the NFL draft, talking about roster construction, etc. And you got to think what's happened in the month of March. One, local teams going far in their respective high school tournaments. We had the NCAA tournament with a local Indiana team doing well. The transfer portal, that was a topic of conversation as well. The Indiana Pacers are going to be front and center for the foreseeable future, which, by the way, after last night's results in the Eastern Conference, the Pacers only have to win one of their final two games to secure one of those top six seeds in the Eastern Conference playoffs. So things worked out very well for Indiana last night, and tonight they have a matchup on the road. Cavaliers, if they win this game, they do not have to play in the play-in tournament, which is a huge, huge deal, as their playoff run would begin the later part of next week. So all of that has happened, and here we are on April the 11th, and we're 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. Now, clearly, things have shifted a little bit for the Indianapolis Colts. They are not in the quarterback market here, but, you know, I beg this question a little bit. And I'm not exactly insinuating that the Colts will be in this market next year. But what if Anthony Richardson doesn't have a great year this upcoming year? I'm just hypothetically throwing out that question. You would be halfway through his rookie contract, and you wouldn't necessarily be in the go-get-a-quarterback next offseason, but you would be going into year number three with that expedited timeline saying, we have got to see what we drafted. It is amazing how the time clock has just completely it's so much quicker than it used to be. And a lot of that is the investment in a long-term quarterback is both the necessity in the NFL, but it's also teams get a little bit overzealous at some points. Like, look at the way the New York Giants have shifted over the last year. It was this time last year they gave Daniel Jones a long-term contract, $100+ million for a 5-year deal, and now they're desperately trying to get out underneath it. After the previous year they won a playoff game. You know, that's one of those things. Dak Prescott, you know, the Cowboys aren't sure if Dak's going to be their long-term future at quarterback, whereas if you looked last year, Jerry Jones would have told you Dak Prescott's the future, the present, and our franchise leader. Well, looks like they're kind of regretting the position that they've been so stagnant with for the last several years as well. So there's ways where you get over your skis a little bit from an NFL quarterback standpoint, but nearly every one of those examples where you sign a long-term quarterback for the foreseeable future, those teams take advantage of the early moments of that contract. You know, the Cowboys were very good at this. Now, they didn't win anything as a result of it, but, you know, they brought in Ezekiel Elliott. They, you know, CeeDee Lamb, Dez Bryant. I mean, they went luxury. I mean, very quickly, with the rookie deal of Dak Prescott after Tony Romo gets hurt, Dak Prescott comes in. You know the rest of the story, and Dak Prescott has now been the franchise quarterback, and at some point you had to pay him. You did. You've done it twice if you're the Dallas Cowboys. But I applaud the effort. I do, but from a roster construction standpoint, it feels as though when teams lock into their franchise quarterback, you know, it strengthens your overall organization, but it also makes it even more difficult to compete because of the high dollar amount you're putting in his pocket, basically. Think about all the second and third year quarterbacks that have won Super Bowl titles. Patrick Mahomes did it. Tom Brady did it. Russell Wilson did it. I mean, there are countless examples. I believe Cam Newton, when he got to a Super Bowl in 2015, was still on his rookie deal. What these teams do is take advantage of that window. Take advantage of the fact that you have a very comfortable dollar amount and you have a four-year span to figure it out. And guess who's doing that right this moment? The Houston Texans are doing that. No longer are they going to sit back and say, you know what, we need to see a second year from C.J. Stroud. They have already said, you know, hey, he's the rookie of the year. He's maybe already a top 10 quarterback. Let's go for it now because we know the window is going to close very, very quickly. And the deals that they gave to Danielle Hunter and what they showed with the Stephon Diggs acquisition by voiding the rest of his years is basically saying, we are going for it this year. That's what they're doing. Guess what's going to get difficult for a team that just made the Super Bowl after this year? That is the San Francisco 49ers. Brock Purdy fell in their lap in the seventh round, and by circumstance, he gets in the football game and now is their franchise quarterback. After this year, they're going to have to pay Brock Purdy. And you know what San Francisco did not do this year? They did not make any other real big-time moves. Because they're anticipating what occurs next year, they're going to keep that entire core together to say, you know what, hey, let's ride it out for this year. We'll figure it out the next offseason. But guess what you're going to see? You're going to see shedding of salary for the San Francisco 49ers next year. In all these examples, it completely contradicts what the Indianapolis Colts have not done. Because nobody is going to dispute that the NFL draft isn't important at all. No, we've never said that on this program, ever. You always want to get better by growing your own. And Kansas City is a perfect example of this. It's not just that they drafted Patrick Mahomes. It's that they draft great players around him. The defensive side with L'Jarius Sneed. I mean, that was a draft pick. You know, they picked up Chris Jones. They picked up key guys on that football team. So you've got to draft well, even when you have a solid core in place. The fact of the matter is, though, teams that are set or have a window with a rookie quarterback benefit far more from emphasizing the veteran route than it is by drafting that drafting what you need. So, you know, what you hear is the Colts are going to go pretty heavy at wide receiver in the NFL draft. Well, you know, wide receivers can make an impact early, no question about it. But I don't see many teams making long runs or division runs with a second-year quarterback that really hadn't even played that much by rookie investment. And I know the immediate thought is, well, what about Cincinnati? You know, Joe Burrow was in his second year. He got injured year number one. And Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, that crew, you just buried the lead. Because I've had a couple people that have mentioned that to me. Ja'Marr Chase was a once in a 5 years at wide receiver prospect. The Colts aren't going to get Marvin Harrison Jr. They're probably not going to get Malik Nabers. They're probably not going to get the Roma Adunze player from Washington. You're talking about the fifth or sixth wide receiver. So when you hear how deep this wide receiver draft is, that's wonderful. But you're not going to make an impact by drafting the players that are going to help you make a deep run this year if you're drafting 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, right in that range. Colts are right in the middle at 15. So unless they decide to get aggressive and go up and get a high first-round pick, you're talking about the same old strategy that we've been talking about for years and years and years, and that is acquiring many picks, acquiring many different rookies to move forward, because this is still a building process. You know, I look back. Did you know 2018 was the year that Andrew Luck retired? You know, that was 6 years ago. In a couple of months in August, that will be 6 years ago. Do you want to think back to 2018 and the teams that were in power at that time? The Baltimore Ravens, the New England Patriots, the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, you think about all those teams that were in power at that time. And here's going to be the toughest part about that. In these last 6 years, think about the teams that have emerged that were not a factor 6 years ago. The Cincinnati Bengals, the Miami Dolphins, the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City might be the outlier in this respect. Baltimore staying consistent. Pittsburgh is still there. The point of the matter, when I kind of thought about this today and thinking about when Andrew Luck retired 6 years ago, because really that has been and I don't want to say Chris Ballard's made that an excuse that, oh my gosh, we got left at the altar with Andrew Luck. Not necessarily his fault. He hasn't really used it as an excuse, but here's where I think it becomes even looming larger, is that in the last 6 years, the transition of teams that at one point have been contending teams in the AFC has not included the Indianapolis Colts. Houston went through a worse valley than the Colts did. Cincinnati went through a worse valley than the Indianapolis Colts did. Think about some of the teams that are in power right now that have a chance to compete for an AFC championship or win their division and make an impact. And where is the omit in that regard? The Indianapolis Colts. And it makes it even more interesting to watch the way Chris Ballard has navigated this offseason with the opportunity of opportunities to get that rookie contract quarterback and be able to utilize your resources to strengthen around him. All of these perspectives make it even more perplexing as to the route the Indianapolis Colts have decided to choose. And, you know, maybe over the past couple of weeks, over the last month, when we discussed this on this program, we haven't given proper context to the situation. But, you know, there's a lot of things that have happened with this franchise over the last 8-9 years. But I look at even similar sports of the way teams build. You know, the Indiana Pacers, okay? Think about the way they build. And I do think that there should be a correlation here. The Pacers realized, hey, it's not working with Miles Turner, Domantas Sabonis, at the time, Victor Oladipo, etc. So they had a max exodus. They moved on from Domantas Sabonis, brought in Tyrese Halliburton, and, you know, maybe the Pacers felt like they struck gold with a young player like that, but I don't think they realized what they had in Tyrese Halliburton. And then he set the world on fire and did what he did last year and even at the beginning of this year. You know what Kevin Pritchard in that front office recognized? The opportunity is now. You signed him up for a max deal, 4 or 5 year deal. He's made a commitment to stay in Indiana. So what do you do to support him? What do you do to emphasize the moment in time you are currently in? You go out and acquire Pascal Siakam. You go out and acquire a top 30 player in the NBA. So what the Indiana Pacers could have said is, yeah, but, you know, we really want to emphasize our draft picks. We want to grow around Tyrese Halliburton. We want to get young and exciting around him. We don't need to make that big move yet because we're not ready to make that big move. Kevin Pritchard sent the exact opposite message. and said, you know what? We've got the guy in place for the next 5 to 6 seasons. You know what we're going to do? We are going to go for it right now. We are going to make our first big chess move right now and support someone who has made a commitment to us. And here's my fear with the Indianapolis Colts, folks, because there hasn't been a lot of player empowerment movement in the NFL much, but when is it going to come to the point where Anthony Richardson says, you know what? They had an opportunity with my rookie contract to really support me, and I'm playing really, really well. We're not winning, whatever the case may be. I think it's even more of a confidence boost to the guy you're giving basically the keys to the franchise in Anthony Richardson, when you say, hey, we are going to go out and we are going to strengthen the things around you so you don't have to do it all and you can win as a team. You can make it happen, because all we're hearing this offseason is how much Anthony Richardson is ready to step on the gas pedal. That's great. That's what's expected when you draft somebody with the 3rd overall pick. But basically, you're going to say run it back with that, and Anthony Richardson, let's almost just restart and do it a year later and see what you have. Because we're really counting on you to be the primary engine to make things happen. I try to rationalize where you might be and the thought process of why you've decided to go down the route you are. And I understand continuity. I get that. But this is a team that missed the playoffs. This is a team that had one of, if not the easiest schedule in the NFL last year. And everybody else around this team is trying to make themselves better. I love what Zaire Franklin had to say, because it makes me laugh. As the inside linebacker of the team, oh, Colts didn't win the offseason again. Oh, bummer. Better luck next year. Basically making light of the fact that the Colts didn't really make any acquisitions, and he was supporting the franchise in its efforts, and good for him. I mean, he's a team guy. That's great. It's not about winning the offseason. It's about surrounding your young quarterback with veterans to make this team better, because guess what? The division's going to get better, and your schedule is going to get even tougher. But we'll see. I mean, I guess we'll see how this plays out with the Indianapolis Colts. But, you know, roster construction is an interesting thing, and there's not one way to win. There's not one way to be successful. But there seems like there's hallmarks across the NFL, across every sport, that there's blueprints, right? And it feels like the Indianapolis Colts are being stubborn to build like they've always built before, whereas they've never been in the market in the last, 20 years for a top quarterback since Andrew Luck, because they've always wanted to compete at the highest level. Well, now they do, and now they're trying to just say, you know what? Hey, we're just going to let everything come to us. Makes no sense. But that's just me. Thanks to those of you joining us on Facebook Live. Appreciate that. I mean, the team right across from them in the same city is doing the exact opposite. They get a player that commits to them, and they say, you know what, as a sign of you committing to us, we're going to go for it and support you. And they went out and got Pascal Siakam, and it seems like they're not done yet. The Indiana Pacers. There's rumors all around that the Pacers are going to be pretty active this offseason. So they're looking to add, they're looking to get better. And the Indianapolis Colts are saying, yeah, we'll develop through the draft, because that's what we do. We develop our own. Anyway, off my soapbox for a little bit. All right, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about a local player that got a very big honor today. Talk about that. Rich Maloney, Ball State baseball coach, with us at 4:30. We're back with you next. Yes, welcome back inside the program. Power Talk of Muncie, the new WMBN, is always presented by Walls Furniture and Mattress, Nebo Road, right here in Muncie, online at wallsfurniture.com. 90% of what's on the showroom floor in stock for you, 48 hours or less. That's the Walls Furniture and Mattress difference on Nebo Road, right here in Muncie, and online at wallsfurniture.com. Ball State baseball coach Rich Maloney coming up here in less than 5 minutes from now. Before we get to that conversation, a big moment today for a local high school basketball player, and that is Isaac Andrews was named to the Indiana All-Stars today, and that's it's a huge honor. This is selected by Executive Director Mike Broughton, and this is the Indiana-Kentucky series, but the Indiana All-Stars consists of 13 players that are seniors, graduated, and obviously played high school basketball this year. Now, here's what I don't know, and I guess I should have figured this out before we jumped on and talked about this today, but this is my assumption, okay? I have to think that the tournament run for Wapahani was advantageous for Isaac Andrews to receive this honor. There was a lot of chatter heading up to the state championship game for Wapahani about from his coach, from other coaches around the state as well, that Isaac Andrews should be an Indiana All-Star. And, you know, that campaign and that kind of plea, I would imagine that the tournament run had to have helped, had to have. But I think people around here understand it's really neat to see the statewide recognition for Isaac Andrews. Now, he was on the Indiana Junior All-Stars team last year in on a rotational basis, but from a senior, from a Indiana All-Star, you know, the senior-laden Indiana All-Stars perspective, you know, to be one of the top 13 seniors in the state is a huge, huge honor for a young man that obviously is going to be the all-time leading scorer in area history, Muncie and Delaware County history. But, you know, I wonder, you know, where the tiebreakers come into place and how you select and all those different things. But the run that he had to the state championship leading his Wapahani crew there, you know, for Isaac, who is so team-focused, to get this honor, I would imagine this is just about any senior player's dream to become an Indiana All-Star. You got to think 13 seniors out of all the seniors from around the state in high school basketball get selected to this team, and to be one of the top 13 is a huge, huge honor. You'll play against the Kentucky team. You'll be playing with a lot of players that will be playing high major basketball, and again, just another opportunity for exposure for Isaac Andrews to this point that hasn't committed to his college of choice for next year. Again, I think the chatter continues to grow for Isaac based on what his team was able to accomplish, but also him getting the opportunity to play for you know, a very historic opportunity to be an Indiana All-Star. There's a lot of players, a lot of great players over the history of Indiana high school basketball that have been on this team, and Isaac's going to be added to that list. So I'm happy for him, happy for the family. I know that was a goal, and it's great to see that this is going to happen for him. So some key dates coming up for that. The series is going to be held on June 7th and June 8th. Back-to-back, you know, back-to-back games. One will be played in Lexington, Kentucky. The other on June 8th will be played at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. So they basically play in back-to-back games against the Kentucky teams and play in Kentucky and then play back in Central Indiana at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. So more to come on that as those details become more final. All right, when we come back, we'll be joined by Rich Maloney, Ball State baseball coach. Talk to him about the team's progression and much, much more coming your way next. Power Talk of Muncie, the WMUN. Yes, welcome back inside the show. Power Talk of Muncie, the new WMUN, brought to you by State Farm agent Jason May. Make sure you're getting all the discounts you deserve by calling Jason at 747-7100 today. Glad you're with us. Always glad to be joined by Rich Maloney, Ball State baseball coach, with us on the line today on a rainy day in the northern part of the United States, coach. And you guys got out there, got after it a little bit for practice today, huh?
We found a window, and it's always you tell the kids one thing, and you got to keep watching the radar, and then you got to shift gears. And it's actually good for them because they got to be flexible, versatile, and because who knows, you know, what things are thrown at you, and then you got to end up playing a game.
So what's the plan for tomorrow? Kind of forecasting your first game with Akron in a three-game set is 3 o'clock tomorrow. What's kind of the protocol to kind of look at all the factors to see if tomorrow's possible?
Yeah, we're just going to try to find a window because I think when the weather does get out of here, it's going to be out of here, and then we're going to have a great weekend. So hopefully it gets out by 3. If not by 4, we probably won't start a game much later than 4:30 due to not having lights.
Yeah, makes sense.
So if we're on Saturday, but I'm hopeful that we'll play a game tomorrow.
So with your team, how does that affect your team when, you know, the plan is obviously you prepare yourself to play that game, but obviously things up in the air. Is there anything different as a coach you do with some things out of your control, like, oh, I don't know, weather, coach?
Yeah, well, that's the one of the things I hate about my profession is being a weatherman. You know, if I had an indoor facility that you played games in, like basketball and volleyball and stuff, then you don't have to worry about the weather. But I have to play weatherman. So when I get up tomorrow morning, I'll be checking the weather. I'll look at the hourly. I'll look at radar. And then as the day goes on, I'll still be watching radar. I'll watch TV and the weather. You know, so I spend a lot of time, actually, on days like this when you're the host. So, but the good thing is, there's beautiful weather coming, or as a matter of fact, Sunday they're saying might be almost record temperatures here in Indiana. So we'll be thankful for that. We'll try to strap it on tomorrow if we can, and then try to win as many games as we possibly can.
It's been big for the last couple of weeks, things coming together, and we talked way at the beginning of the season, Coach, the progression and some guys kind of filling in roles and really understanding their role for the most part. So what has shifted? Has anything shifted over the last couple of weeks where you've had a lot of success in conference to kind of climb back to the middle of the standings there?
Yeah, we certainly started the season well in the non-conference, and we went 11-6, and we were playing very well, but we still weren't fully loaded. We were still missing a player or two. And then when we hit the Mid-American Conference, we lost a couple more players. And so we haven't had our true lineup. We're getting really close now. We're probably I'm proud of the guys because we started so slow in the actual MAC season, which is very unaccustomed to us. But it's part of the journey. Sometimes it happens. Teams had the same kind of deal, and they ended up making the NCAA regional. So sometimes it happens. You got to fight your way through it. But the kids have to stay together, and our guys did. We were 1-7, and which is very unfamiliar territory, and the guys fought back. We won 8 in a row. Including a couple non-conference games. So then we made it to 7-8 now. So we're climbing. We're moving in the right direction. We still got a long ways to go. But I really feel like if it's to be one of the best teams in the league, without question. So we're getting there. And the guys have learned. They stayed the course. And they stayed together, yeah. Which is, as a coach, is what you want to see. So I think if you survive the storm, you get stronger from it. In some teams, they wilt away when things go awry, and our team stayed the course. So I think we'll be a better team for it down the stretch.
Hey, Coach, can I have you call me back? And the only reason we had you cutting in and out, can I have you call me back real quick, and we'll try the connection one more time? We want to make sure we hear all the perspectives. So I'll have you call me back, Coach. We'll try to reconnect with Coach Rich Maloney and go from there just to see if we can get a better connection with Coach Rich Maloney, who joins us on the phone. And he mentioned it about Mid-American Conference play. They've been a lot better going back to the win that they had on March 24th at Toledo. Then they won 3 against Ohio. Then they won 2 of 3 last weekend against Miami of Ohio. And I look back at last weekend saying, you know, hey, look, the Miami of Ohio series was huge. because Miami of Ohio is right where you are, in the middle of the Mid-American Conference. And so when you take two or three from them, that's going to loom large at the end of the season, no question about it, because, you know, as we've talked about in nearly every Mid-American Conference sport that we cover, when you find yourselves in the middle of the conference and you're playing against those teams in the middle and the teams at the bottom, and you play well against those teams, that ultimately decides a lot as it comes to, you know, the end of the year. The end of the year, you are judged by, you know, what you do in the middle of the conference. And I know that that point gets kind of boring or, maybe a moot point. At the end of the day, I get it. I understand that. I really, really do. But it's very, very true. We got Coach back here. Coach, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, much clearer, Coach. Much clearer. So we were talking about no problem. We were talking about the Mid-American Conference schedule and those sorts of things. And you talked about that valley a little bit with injuries and those sorts of things. So the struggles you were having, was it more with your team or more about the competition you were facing in the Mid-American Conference, or a balance of both, Coach?
Well, I think it's always a balance of both. But I always feel like, I'm not big on like scouting reports and all that other stuff. I'm big at about how we play, because I feel like if we play the way we're supposed to play, then we'll have a chance to win in most games that we play all season. And it doesn't matter who the competition is. And I really believe that. So we try to kind of focus on ourselves. We had a streak there after we started really well. Unfortunately, we hit our debacle a little bit during the time the MAC started. And not taking nothing away from the teams that we played. They played really, really well, as they should. I mean, they're gunning for us. We've, you know, been a part of two championships in a row. And so everybody's gunning for us. And we have a lot of new personnel. And then you factor in some injuries and stuff. And then we just didn't play really well for a stretch of time. And those other teams did a great job of taking advantage of our weakness. And then our guys fought back. And now we're back in the mix. We're not where we need to be, but we're moving in the right direction. We're getting healthy, and I really like the way the team stayed together, because I think that's the sign of a good team, is when the storm hits and you still grind your way through it, you get better from it.
Well, and one of the things that I saw early on from your season, Coach, is, you know, in games decided by two runs or less, the record was tough through the last through the first couple of series. Now, when we're talking about the end of that Toledo series, we're talking about a win in Ohio. You won two of the three against Miami of Ohio in a game decided by one run and two runs. Any talk about when you get in those tight games? It feels like over the last couple of weeks that script has been flipped a little bit. You're thriving in those types of situations.
Yeah, well, I think that comes with our team playing together longer, because you have so many new guys and they don't know our culture. And so I know it's kind of a cliche, everybody kind of talks about it, but the truth of the matter is it takes time, because your rosters nowadays are getting transformed. I mean, heck, we had 20 or 21 new guys. I mean, that's like, for me in my career, that's like ludicrous. But
sure,
that's the
yeah.
way of the land now. So it takes a while for everybody to mesh. And then on top of it, I think we had to make some decisions, because we were waiting for some guys to step up. And I had to move a guy out of the rotation simply so I could use him on the back end. And that proved to be right when we won last Friday against Miami. Had we not changed one of our starters and put him at the closer, we probably don't win that game the way things had been going. So, you know, those are some of the moves that your coaches have to make, and decisions are tough. But sometimes you got to do that to find the right personnel at the right time, because closing a game is so critically important. And we had a few where we didn't close games, and those ones are really demoralizing to your team when you have it right there and you kind of let it slip away. So hopefully we got that ship righted. Get some of these guys going again. Get them back in our back healthy again, and then I you know, it'll be an interesting next 15 games in the MAC, that's for sure.
It's Rich Maloney, Ball State baseball coach, with us on the Power Talk of Muncie, the new WMUN. Speaking of things that have shifted, from a starting standpoint, your pitching staff has really pitched well over the last couple of weeks. I know there were some up and down moments early on. The lineup, again, like you mentioned, has sent guys in and out, but specifically when we're talking about the starters there, do you feel like you have the mix you would want moving forward for the rest of the year?
Yeah, actually I do. I think our bats haven't played up to what I think they will. And that actually, you can look at it one of two ways. You can say, oh, well, maybe they're not as good as you thought they were going to be, or maybe they just haven't peaked yet. I'm going to choose to say we haven't peaked yet, because I believe in these hitters. I think that they'll get hot, and hopefully just at the right time. But we're, again, I think some of the guys out of the lineup hurts us, because hitting's contagious. And when you're missing a couple key hitters in the lineup, that kind of messes your lineup a little bit. But we're getting ready. We're getting healthier, and so we'll be better there. And to the pitcher's credit, they stayed the course too, because, man, we had a funk there. I mean, we lost some games where we just – we didn't play very well, and we were pretty bad. And then to their credit, they've kept developing and getting better. And Merritt Beaker's rise, like we thought he would be an excellent transfer, has done fantastic and really taken hold of now he's our Friday guy. And then Keegan Johnson, our freshman, two of the last 3 weeks he's been pitcher of the week, and he had a bad week in between that, but he answered back after the bad week and was fantastic. So we got two of the best lefties in the league. We got Nate Blaine, who's a bulldog. We moved him to a closer role. Sam Klein's rising right now. He struggled really bad early, but he's had a lot of success in his career. The last two outings, he's been fantastic. And then we need one or two more guys to step up on the mound in relief. If we get that, I think we'll be a very, very tough opponent down the stretch.
Rich Maloney, Ball State baseball coach, with us. So what stands out about this three-game set this weekend with Akron? Another opportunity for you to keep rising up as you have the last couple of weeks.
Well, they're always dangerous games, because Akron struggled in the league, and overall they got a new coach, and, you know, they're trying to find themselves. We're in a position where we need to take care of business, and it's not easy. Everybody thinks, you know, I don't think people truly understand how hard it is to win and win consistently. And so, you know, everybody's gunning for you, and they have nothing to lose, everything to gain. And we got our backs a little bit against the wall. We've been fighting back, but we got to have a big series against Akron. We got to take care of business. And I think our guys are ready. We've had really good practices this week. We didn't get to play Indiana, which was unfortunate, but we took advantage of that and had good practice. And sometimes you need that. And so anyway, the Akron series is one where we've got to hit the baseball, because we certainly didn't do a good job against Miami in hitting the baseball. And we've got to throw, consistent. We've got to have some consistent frontline pitching, which we've been getting, but we got to have it for all three games. And I like our chances if we're able to do that. At the same token, it's about making plays, making pitches, get timely hits. And if we do that, we're going to be just fine. So that's our goal for this weekend, is to guard our house, keep momentum in our favor, and then narrow down the season to 12 games and get ourselves actually in the playoff mix. If we win, have a really big weekend this weekend, then we can get ourselves solidify ourselves in the playoff positioning, which is what we got to do.
It's Rich Maloney, Ball State baseball coach, with us. A three-game set this weekend with Akron. Scheduled first pitch tomorrow, 3 o'clock, and then 1 o'clock Saturday, 1 o'clock on Sunday. Coach, always great to catch up with you. Best of luck this weekend, and we certainly look forward to talking to you soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Mark. Have a great day.
That's Rich Maloney with us, Ball State baseball coach. And yes, keep up to date about tomorrow. At this point, that game is still scheduled. First pitch, 4:03. But, they're trending upwards. And, again, you can sense it. It's a progression with this baseball team. You know, 20 new faces to the team, and yet they're still in the mix for what they want at the end of the year, and that's to get into the postseason. season and see how it all ends up playing out. All right, when we come back, we'll close up a Thursday edition of the program right after this. Welcome back inside the show. Power Talk of Muncie, the new WMUN, brought to you by Sheriff Goslin Roofing. Your visitor to protect your family. Make sure you're doing all you can to protect them. Sheriff Goslin Roofing has been helping for generations. Remember to call Pete Dahlia or look them up at worryfreeroof.com. Just saw this. Looks like Bashir Jihad, Ball State men's basketball player who entered the transfer portal, is committing to Arizona State. So leaving Ball State men's basketball, that just made official on social media not too long ago. So that is the news from the transfer portal for Ball State men's basketball. So we were talking, and I want to continue this conversation about roster construction tomorrow when we're scheduled to be joined by George Brimmer from the Herald Bulletin. Look, we talked about it at the top, and again, I don't mean to be negative about it. Again, I want to give you my honest opinion about roster construction and the things that over the course of history in the NFL and other sports that have been successful. I will say this, as we head into next year for the Indianapolis Colts, and again, we're going to ramp up the conversation about this team over the next couple of weeks due to the fact the NFL draft is right on the doorstep here in a couple of weeks' time. I am curious how this team looks with a full season of Jonathan Taylor in the backfield, because we know he missed the first four games of the year, and then he was slowly integrated into the offense, and by the end of the year, he looked like the old Jonathan Taylor, especially in that Week 17 game against, or Week 18 game, I guess it would be, against the Houston Texans. He at times was the best player on the field. You know, that is going to make a huge, huge difference coming down the stretch. I get it. I understand that. But at the end of the day, the support for Anthony Richardson, a player that really didn't even play last year, to be honest with you. I mean, he played the first couple games of the season, but was knocked out of two of the four games he played. Where is the support for him, except for the players that were already on the roster last year? And, later in the summer, I'll give you my predictions on, based on the schedule and the way it shakes out for the Indianapolis Colts, how many wins they're going to have. I was way off last year. You know, I don't think anybody expected the Colts to have as many wins as they did a year ago. I had over six, I had right at six wins last year. And, of course, the Colts were over that last year and just barely missed a playoff berth. But ultimately, that's where the perspective comes from. You know, not that I really have to explain myself on that. You know, I don't want to bash Chris Ballard, be negative, whatever the case may be. It just feels like the same song and dance as has been the entire tenure. So you got to be honest where you need to be honest, and that's what we're going to do on this program, no doubt about it. The Coach's Corner is back coming up on Saturday. Zach Johnson is going to host that show from Crestview Golf Club, Mulligan's Clubhouse Grill. It's been a minute since we've had a program. We had a busy month of March, and we're glad to be back at Crestview Golf Club for the final 2 months of the Coaches Show for this upcoming year. Coming up on Saturday, we'll have Delta Wrestling in the house, head coach of Wapani Basketball, Matt Luce, and Kyle Mealy, the superintendent of Westdale Community Schools, as they continue to upgrade their athletic facilities. And Zach Johnson will have the conversation with all of those folks coming up on Saturday morning. But we are back with you tomorrow, same time, same place, 4 o'clock. Big thanks to Rich Maloney, Ball State baseball coach. Look forward to talking to you tomorrow at 4 here on the Talk of Muncie WMUN.